Today is September 19th, 2018, and this is episode number 480 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I am this close to figuring out how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, join us over at facebook.com/groups/context machine.
You know, I've been thinking a lot lately, like in the past 20 seconds, about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Mm-hmm. And I have several variables. First, I need to know the size of the pin. Second, I need to know the size of the angels. Third, I need to know the type of dance.
Well, interestingly to me, none of those questions actually mattered to the folks who used to debate this in earnestness. Back in the day, and by back in the day, I mean in, I believe this was a Dark Ages conversation in monasteries.
Well,
might have been Renaissance, but I believe it was actually Dark Ages.
Then they were clearly thing. Missing the point. Because
no, I think you're missing the point.
No, hold on.
The point is,
if we have seven angels, wait. Okay, a single angel, and they have an average velocity. That's the unladen velocity of a swallow.
The question.
This is complicated.
It is very complicated, but the question is about perfection. That is the nature of the question.
I thought it was about
volume. I'm not buying into that particular argument. I'm trying to discuss the question in the context of its times, because you know this is what we do. Context.
Holy crap! I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
That's very clever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I still say it's a math problem.
I'd love to be able to actually relive some of the actual live debates about this between clerics.
It probably would have been fascinating, but man, it would have smelled so bad.
It probably would have. Okay. So this week we had a bunch of stuff from Apple. We have some more stuff coming, mm-hmm. but we had OS releases. What do we get? We get iOS 12.
Mm-hmm. WatchOS 5.
Right. That's a good one. Yep. I like that one. TVOS 12.
Mm-hmm. And then we got the HomePod software update, which is interesting because Apple has no idea what to call this.
Yeah, it seems like they call it a bunch of things nothing.
Sometimes it's HomePod software update. Sometimes it's HomePod update
Sometimes it's a firmware update for HomePod.
Right. And this time it was iOS 12.
Yeah. What's up with that? I mean, why not just go ahead and lie like you do with the Apple TV and call it HomePod OS 12? I'm okay with that.
You know, I don't think they're really lying. They're just clarifying which subset of iOS they're shipping. Because, I mean, for that matter, they might as well just call everything OS 10.
Well, yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
But fair, yeah, they need to enough. Come up with a consistent name for the updates that come out for HomePod. And for all we know, they just did, and it's just iOS 12 because, you know, it's a HomePod.
Right.
Well, and it is running an A8 processor. So it's running an iPhone processor.
Yes. Yes, it is doing that. That is a thing that it is doing. All right. But for this show, as we like, you know, we're like going down a rabbit hole and then we're like digging side tunnels.
Yes. Yeah, so would that be more like prairie dog holes?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not I'm not positive. So anyway, I thought what we could do, we're waiting for, now, if, wait, are you getting a, stop. Are you getting a new iPhone?
No, I'm not.
What?
No, I'm not. Oh, that's not what you meant by what. Okay, I'm not getting a new iPhone because when the iPhone 10 came out, it was out of cycle for Apple's regular updates. So since I'm on the annual upgrade cycle, that means that I needed to drop an extra $500.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would it be $500? I had to drop two payments, which was $95 total.
I don't know, but AT&T said
that. Are you sure you're not on the 30-month upgrade plan?
Yeah, annual upgrade plan. 12 months.
Well, they told you wrong then, man. You should have had to make up two payments because you got yours. You actually got yours before mine.
Yeah, I got mine.
We ordered them the same day, and I didn't get mine for like another 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I got mine on release day. And
okay, well, so you got some wrong information somewhere. You're either not on the plane you think you are, or the person who told you you had to pay $500 was wrong. You should have to make up two payments if you're on the 24-month
plan. And that's plan, what I was expecting.
Which allows you to upgrade every year, as long as you turn in your old device.
Right, which is what I did to get my iPhone 10 annual upgrade plan. I went from a 7 to a 10 and got it at the 12-month cycle, no problem, and didn't have to do any extra payments. And this time around, I figured because it was 2 months later, I'd have to pay 2 months. And instead, they're saying, no, you owe $500. So I thought, yeah, I'll just get the
watch. Did you get this in a writing or did you get this from a support person?
It was through their online system.
Okay, call if you're wanting to get one anytime soon. Because again, you're either not on the plane you think you are or they gave you erroneous information.
Well, it has to be erroneous information then because I am certain about the
plane. Do you know how much you pay per month just for the phone in installments?
Not off the top of my head.
It
went up, which makes sense from my iPhone 7 because it's a more expensive phone.
Right.
But yeah, off the top of my head, I don't remember. So it's all right because now it gives me time to decide if I want to get the new iPhone or if I should just wait until the next cycle. And at that point, I own this phone outright and don't have to send it back.
Well, so, I mean, like the reason why I'm not like chastising us for having this conversation is because I imagine it's probably a conversation other people are having.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming, too.
So, you know, and I went on record as saying that I would have stuck with my 10. I think that the 10S is a solid nuts and bolts upgrade. Mm-hmm. And like for anyone who's on, you know, a 7 or below in particular, it's a no-brainer. And for anyone who's on an 8 and wants to get into the features that were introduced with the 10, it's a good choice. And anyone who's on a 10, you know, if you can upgrade because you're on a yearly upgrade plan, fine. Otherwise, don't worry about it.
Yeah. And well, and that's why when I saw you have to pay $500, I thought, you know, do I really want to mess with this? Because my iPhone 10 is really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
So I thought, all right, well, I'll just move on and get my Apple Watch.
Fair enough. All right, so we both have Apple Watches coming on. You're getting the small one. I'm getting the large one. Mm-hmm. I'm getting silver stainless steel. What are you getting?
I'm getting black aluminum.
Black aluminum, right? Which
space
is
space gray aluminum.
I didn't do last year's model. You did. Mm-hmm. And I know why you're getting the new one, because if it wasn't for the heart rate feature, would you get the 4?
No.
The heart monitoring features, I should say, because there's multiple features.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the ECG, I'd be fine waiting for the Series 5 to come out.
Yeah, okay, right. That makes a lot of sense to me. And I had a zero, I have a Series 0 because I still haven't sold it. And I have a Series 2 that I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, so for you, it's just a no-brainer. It's time to get the new features.
Yes, it is. But they were both black aluminum, and I am space gray aluminum, and I am looking forward to the stainless steel.
You know, the stainless steel I think looks really nice, but every time I've tried one on, I haven't been happy with it. It just, the extra weight bothers me.
Well, you know, so this might be a conversation a few people have. My biggest problem with the aluminum Apple Watch when I first went to it from my mechanical timepiece was that it was too light. I like that comforting weight. Now, I've gotten used to it since, obviously. I've been wearing an Apple Watch now for several years. Mm-hmm. But I liked that comforting weight of a real timepiece, and I'm actually looking forward to having that again.
Interesting. Yeah. And I came into Apple Watch not wearing a watch.
But you would get used to it. Like either way, just like I got used to the lightweight, and I originally got used to the heaviness of my timepiece, you would have gotten used to the stainless steel if you got one.
I'm sure you're right. But I had the option of the aluminum.
Yeah.
So why bother getting used to something that I wasn't liking in the beginning?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm here. All right. So that's what's coming to us on Friday. I've got the XS and a Series 4, Apple Watch Series 4 coming, and you've got an Apple Watch Series 4 coming. Mm-hmm. But this week, it's been all about, of course, playing with the new software.
Right, because iOS 12, WatchOS 5. Oh, that's what took us down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, this particular rabbit hole. Right. Although I think this wasn't a side tunnel. This was just a new rabbit hole.
We popped up and started digging a new one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, there's the equipment right there. Might as well put the use, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've rented it for the day.
It's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Bitcoin, right, as we record this, Bitcoin's going a little bananas. It dipped down to $6,100, and in the space of a couple of seconds, jumped up to $6,500.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just as, anyway, this is happening live on my screen while I'm pretending to listen to you. truth in advertising.
Oh, I hate you. I don't really.
Yeah. So here's the interesting thing about this year's crop of updates. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little disconnected from them. And like, I was all interested during the WWDC keynote. I was all interested. I was like, yeah, man, iOS 12 looks great. Oh, WatchOS 5 looks great. Can't wait for the changes in HomePod and Siri. TVOS, you know, boy, this stuff, just, you know, the new aerial flyovers in TVOS 12, which I've installed, but haven't actually seen any of the new aerials.
Anyway, neither have I.
So my point is that I'm feeling strangely disconnected. I think that's actually on me. I happen to be at a particularly busy point in my life where, I mean, I'm just nonstop working. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had the time. I haven't spent anywhere near as much time. I didn't spend any time with the betas. And that's unusual for me. I usually at least plow in. I usually put one of my iOS devices, like my iPad, I'll put that on at least a public beta release, like, you know, like three or four versions into it. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have time to do that this year. So I'm going to assume that my disconnectedness is really esoteric to me. Am I using the right word there? specific to me at the very least, and is probably
to you. That's spiritual.
It is both esoteric and specific to me. Right? Esoteric. I'm using esoteric, Kyler. Definitely a little
specific here,
but mostly
you have mostly esoteric circumstances creating a specific scenario for you.
Yes. Oh, I like this. Right. So, but now that we're here, I thought that we take a look at some of the things that are in these and figure out why I should be interested in.
Okay. Well, that said, are there any features that are kind of standing out to you? Because that would be the place for us to start.
Well, I immediately played with Memoji. You know, I'm a huge fan of Animoji. I am a huge unfan of anyone who dismisses or denigrates Animoji as pointless and unimportant.
Okay, so let's start there.
I think Animoji is fun. I love Memoji. Absolutely love it.
All right, so I'm going to play straight man for a minute since you probably won't get to describe a ton of stuff that we talk about. Brian, what's Memoji?
Memoji is the ability to make your own Animoji. So you can construct your own avatar in a very, very similar process to Bitmoji, right? Apple's clearly borrowing from Bitmoji here. There are other apps that have come along since too, that also let you design your own avatar. And then they use those avatars in graphical messages of some sort. Mm-hmm. With the case of Memoji, it's 3D. It moves and you can record messages and send those messages across iMessage. Just like you can with Animoji. They're fun. Yeah. They're a lot of fun. I liked Animoji. I use it regularly. I have a lot of fun with it. I like, you know me, I've got a ton of voices, right? Mm-hmm. And I love looking at an Animoji character and then figuring out what voice it would have. Sure. And then doing that voice is, you know, kind of what I do. With Memoji, it's pretty simple because it's my voice.
Right. Oh, holy crap.
I look at it and I say, I think I know what this character will sound like.
I think I do too.
So here is the really interesting thing to me about Memoji. Mm-hmm. You are making a very idealized version of yourself. Like I feel like my Bitmoji is more accurate.
And I've never made a Bitmoji.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you should totally make a Bitmoji, man. They're fun.
Well, I'll give it a shot. So now I have something to compare it to because I have my Bitmoji.
Have you ever received a Bitmoji?
I'm assuming so. There's the things that look sort of like cartoon drawings of a person, and then it'll have like extra words with them.
Yes.
That's Bitmoji.
Okay. Let me send you one of me in a bathtub.
Okay.
Because, and at least I saw that one recently. Oh, here we go. Here I am sitting on a toilet. That's great.
Okay.
Also, you're welcome.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well played on the follow-up.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, right, I've received Bitmoji before. And you're sweet.
Thank you. I feel like that looks, it doesn't look exactly like me, but I feel like it looks more like me than my Memoji. But here's the thing, Jeff. Mm-hmm. My Memoji looks like I want to look. Like, I wish I looked like my Memoji. I did my best to make it as faithful and as accurate, but it looks way better than me. Like, I wish I had that much hair on the top of my head.
Yeah. No, I get it. When I made my Memoji, I was trying to make something that was faithful to how I look. And you have so many choices, you know, for hair, face, and eyes, and I mean, everything. But when it comes right down to it, there's so much variation across individuals that it feels like you are stunningly limited when you actually start building your own.
Yeah.
But still, I came up with one that I thought looked reasonably like me.
And yeah, kind of like if you today were 20 years old. They all definitely look a lot younger.
Yeah, okay, that's a great way to describe it. Yeah, if I look today, no, if my look today was applied to me when I was in my 20s, that's what my Memoji is.
Yeah, I made it, by the way. I made a Memoji with me with my glasses dark, so they look like sunglasses. And yeah, immediately
I can do that.
And I immediately sent copies of me singing wearing my sunglasses at night.
Of course you did.
Yeah, this was because I started doing it after TDO, because we did that on TDO, right?
Yes, we did.
And I also made one with a cowboy hat. I don't like the cowboy hat at all. Here, I'll send that to you right now.
Now, when you made these others, did you do the trick? Oh, I kind of like the cowboy hat. It's the wrong color, though.
Well, it's the closest color I had. Oh. Actually, it's actually quite close. My current one is a steel gray.
We need to work on the lighting in your place then.
What color did you think it was?
I thought it was more of a green with kind of a steel gray color in it.
Oh no, it's definitely it's gray with blue in it.
Oh, okay.
There's my sunglasses one. I like my sunglasses one. I want to look that cool.
Your sunglasses do look cool.
I want to look that cool. I don't look that cool in real life. I want to look that cool.
So what I did, because now, of course, I'm playing with my sunglasses one. Mm-hmm. I duplicated my Memoji so I can change just the glasses.
Mm-hmm. I did that too, for sure. Yep. Which you can do. And we can assume, sorry about the noise, folks. We can assume that Apple is going to come up with more options over time.
Right.
Like, for instance, right now, there are three nose choices, small, medium, or large, and they're all button noses. You know, there's no equine, no eagle noses, no sharp noses, no flat noses, no, they're all button noses.
Yeah, you're right. They're all button noses.
Yeah. So anyway, nonetheless, Memoji is a lot of fun. There are a lot of options, but it is still kind of limited, but it's still fun. It's still fun. Yeah. I like yours.
I just made sunglasses while I was pretending to listen to you.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah,
that works. And unrelated, Bitcoin is back down to 6422. So, yeah, just saying. But yeah, Memoji, it's fun. I like it.
All right. So part of the thing about Memoji for me, and yes, it's fun and I'm really enjoying it, is that I look at this as Apple being pretty savvy about what they're doing with messages, because they've made the comment before that messages is the most used app on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And they get that that messages and iMessage as a whole, is this becoming its own platform on the iPhone?
Oh, it very much is. There, you know, Apple has looked at what's going on with WhatsApp, what's going on with Snapchat. With Line, I think they really have borrowed a lot from the Line app. They're taking bits and pieces of that. And of course, Apple has a huge advantage to those other apps, is that iMessage was already the app that people use for their text messaging.
Right.
Whereas all of those other platforms have to be, they're platforms. They're, you know, you've got to go to that app to use them. Actually, wait, can you do that with messaging? Is that a thing?
You
can I change my messaging app?
Messages, you can tie in other apps directly.
No. Yeah, with plugin apps. But I mean, like, could I use, I can't designate Line as my text message app, can I? Is that a thing? No. That seems like it's a thing.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, okay. All right. So Apple has a big advantage there, and they've parlayed that advantage, and they've taken a lot of the features that have made these other platforms popular, like stickers, apps, ability, you know, to throw in song lyrics. And then, of course, they did some stuff that they are uniquely able to do, which is an emoji, at least for iPhone 10 and above.
Mm-hmm.
And will hopefully, by the way, also be part of the next crop of at least some of the iPad Pros.
You know, I wrote a piece this morning about how some people have been digging through iOS 12.1 developer beta 1.
Mm-hmm.
And they have found references in the code for Face ID in landscape mode as opposed to portrait mode. And right now, on the iPhone, the only way it works is in portrait mode. And,
okay.
So that implies a changed sensor array configuration so that you can have landscape mode, which would indicate probably an iPad. But then they also found in the setup code
references. Oh, what if Apple's just able to turn that on for iPhone?
From what I'm seeing from people that seem to be in the know is that you can't. It has to do with the sensor positioning.
Hmm. So, okay, well, let's go with that. Yeah,
so we'll go with that for now until Apple surprises us, and then the iPhone XS Max suddenly it works on. But the other thing is they found in the setup code for a new device references to onboarding iPad fall 2018.
Well, sweet. That's great.
Yeah.
I hope that's the case. I want, you know, I've got this thing. We've talked about this before. I've got this thing where I want Apple to keep deploying that one weird trick of goosing sales, which is to make new versions of their products.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see iPad updated this fall, just like I would like to see iMac. And, you know, that's another discussion, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that we do get the new iPad Pro this fall. So maybe we have an October event coming up.
It seems like that could be the case.
Yeah, whatever it is, it needs to happen before the holiday buying season.
Right, but it may not be an event. They may just actually just release it too.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's true. They could do the same with new Macs as well.
Yeah. They could. Yes. I would like to see another Apple event for whatever that's worth.
I would too. It's especially for new Macs so that Apple can have this big public splash about, see, we still do love the Mac. I mean,
right.
They care about the Mac, but
if they had an event, they could pretend for another 2 years that they care.
See, it's all about appearances, Brian.
All right. So Memoji is fun. I'm excited to see it. It's just fun. I mean, I'm excited to see it. Probably isn't like I'm enjoying it. That's a much better way of putting it. It's one of the very first things I did was I went and made my Memoji.
Yeah, that was one of the first things I did too. And I think it's a great first thing because it's this very visual, tangible thing. You get to create your character.
Right. A couple of tips, by the way. Most of the options have color mm-hmm. options, and keep looking if you're not seeing something like I had somehow not noticed the hat wear, and it's at the very end of the list. You scroll left to right through.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I know what the problem. My problem is with this cowboy hat. It's too small.
Oh yeah,
it looks like a kid's hat.
Well, that's kind of funny. I think.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, but we're totally going with that.
Let's go with that, yeah. So you can also, once you have made a Memoji, You can make more than one, and you know they're all going to be available for you. And you can let's see here. Here is Longshoreman brand. I think. Let's see. Can I send that to you?
I love that we do a video show so people can see all these.
Yeah, exactly. There's Longshoreman brand.
it's totally Longshoreman brand.
The
startled.
Yeah, doing that big. Yeah, I do.
That's funny. I didn't know the Kraken was real.
So there's color options. You can have multiple. I don't know if there's a limit. So far, I have not found any limit to the number of different emojis you can make. You can duplicate an existing emoji if you just want to make a simple change. Mm-hmm. That's much simpler than starting over from scratch. And you probably have a color option if there's any particular feature that you're looking to change.
Yes. Another thing that I just found out was discovered in the 12.1 developer beta.
Okay.
It's a reference to syncing your Memoji. So how many people have two iPhone 10 or higher devices? Probably not many, but a lot of people have an iPhone and an iPad. So that kind of ties into your Memojis are great.
That's Swami brand, by the way.
Swami brand. Yeah. So anyhow, that helps build a foundation for saying, yes, a new iPad is coming and it'll have Face ID and the true depth camera.
All right. Let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's the case. I want that to be the case.
Me too.
I think I like this one more than I like the cowboy hat. All right. So we'll stop that.
Yeah. See. You totally need to go with the Monopoly Man look.
I'm thinking it's more like steampunk. Start dangling some gears off that. Jerk. All right. So the next big thing to me that has really stood out, and yet I haven't done anything with them, are Siri shortcuts and then related shortcut suggestions.
Okay.
And Siri suggestions, I guess, which aren't really related.
No. No, they're not. But that's okay, because Siri suggestions, which is something that started prior to iOS 12, to me, that's actually, it might as well be a new feature, because prior to iOS 12, my Siri suggestion stuff was basically nothing ever.
Yeah, ever, 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 ever. I got a suggestion today to call my mother because it's her birthday. Yeah. Now, I honestly didn't need that particular suggestion.
But it's nice that it's there.
That is a useful suggestion. And it, you know, just popped up right there in my notifications. Essentially, call your mother.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yep. I've had notification or Siri suggestions for things like text messages for specific people. And it's interesting because I didn't realize that at certain times of the day, I tend to routinely message with certain people.
Okay. All right. You say that. I've got a suggested shortcut. Are we still talking suggestions, or are we talking shortcuts still?
Well, they're blending together at this point, which is okay. And so that was a wonderful transition.
Well, I've got a suggestion here. First of all, I've got a suggestion here for, we'll deal with the iMessage one first. Send quote, yo, still up, unquote, to my buddy Dimitri. Now, why would I want to set up a shortcut to send that particular message to anyone? I mean, that's useless to me.
You are thinking far too narrowly about this.
Okay.
Okay.
So what happens if I set up that shortcut? I guess I could just do it.
If you set up that shortcut, then what'll happen is you get to assign a phrase to it that you will say to Siri. Now, let's say that it's a message that you do send to someone on a routine basis. Now you can send that message simply by telling any of your devices that support Siri to send the message.
Okay, no, that is great. So, like, for instance, I'm on my way home.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend that I left my house on occasion.
Okay, I'm putting on my pretending cap. It looks very much like your Monopoly Man hat.
It's very, very similar to that. I get the value of that suggestion. This particular suggestion is worthless.
Okay, so
I've sent that to him once, for one thing.
All right, well, then in that case, it is worthless. But this is where you're being a little myopic about how you're looking at what the suggestions are. So it could have been, I'm heading home. And then you could turn that into something where instead of having to type it every time, you just say, send my going but home message. But
it wasn't, I'm going home.
Yeah,
it was a specific question. And
apparently
Siri should know Siri should I mean, like, Apple's whole thing is about understanding. It's like having Siri understand us. This is a particularly worthless suggestion.
All right, so what I'm thinking is you're difficult to understand, because so far the suggestions that I've been getting have been pretty reasonable. Now, in some cases, I look at them and think, okay, I can see why Siri would suggest that, but no, I don't need to set that up as a shortcut. And then other things, I look at it and think, wow, I didn't realize how often I do this. That's a shortcut candidate.
My current third suggestion, by the way, mm-hmm. is play Apple Context Machine. So I approve of that one.
I totally approve of that one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Everyone should set that one up.
Everyone should absolutely set that one up. My first one, though, is another useless one. Mm-hmm. Create an alarm for 3:25 p.m.
Okay. This one is not useless at all. Well, maybe for that specific time, for you it is.
Well, I already have an alarm for 3:25 p.m.
Okay. And it's one that you use regularly?
No, but why would I want to? It doesn't say set alarm. It says create an alarm. I have an alarm created for that time.
Okay.
So why would I want to create additional alarms? No, but that's the suggestion. That's the shortcut. It wants me to create a specific shortcut for that.
Yes. Okay. So what it wants to do is create a shortcut for the alarm.
And, no, it wants to create a shortcut specifically for that, for creating another 3:25 alarm. No,
that's not what it wants to do. And I know this because I have set this up myself. And so what it does is it creates a shortcut for the alarm you already have. And okay, so I did this. Here's why this is actually useful. Let's say that you have an alarm that you use on a regular basis. And
which I do, and it did not suggest anything for it, but go ahead.
Right. Which tells me that you're a very difficult man to figure out.
This all checks out so far.
Yeah. We could go down quite the rabbit hole with that, I'm betting. Anyhow. So, I must be very transparent, because Siri's pretty good at guessing what I want. Anyhow, so I have an alarm that I use on a regular basis, but it's not a recurring alarm. So it's not like I have it set for Monday through Friday. It's just one that I know I need to use routinely. And so I am often going into the clock app and enabling the alarm. I don't anymore, because Siri suggestions said, hey, do you want to create an alarm for this? And I said, yes. And I gave it the phrase that I want, which is set my regular alarm. And now I can do that without going into the clock app on my iPhone. But I also don't even have to do it from my iPhone at all. I have told my HomePod on a regular basis that I want that alarm set. And it turns it on my iPhone.
Yeah. So the interesting thing there is that you don't really need a shortcut to do this particular thing, because unless you want like a one word trigger phrase, I guess. Yeah, I guess if you want one, if you want a one or two word trigger phrase, but I mean, but it is super simple to say, "Hey, S lady, set my, you know, such and such alarm."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can do that as well.
I mean, like, I'm not sure that a shortcut in that particular is all that useful in that particular setting.
Okay, here's why the shortcut's useful in this particular setting. First, it's teaching me more about shortcuts. It's exposing me to this new feature. Second, I didn't have to go into the clock app to name my alarm so that I can then tell Siri.
No, but you don't need to name them though. You can actually just say your 8:53 alarm.
And it works?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've done that many times.
Okay. Well, now we go back.
What I haven't done that from HomePod. So I don't know. Oh, yeah. I don't know if HomePod's going to set that on my iPhone.
It's going to set it on the HomePod. If you tell your HomePod set your 8:53 alarm, it's going to create an 8:53 alarm on your HomePod.
On my HomePod, okay.
What I'm doing is telling any device set my recurring alarm
because you named it.
Because
you have a shortcut.
Because I created a shortcut.
Okay.
I never gave it a name. And now every device that I can talk to Siri through or to will then set the alarm on my iPhone.
Okay. Fair enough. I suspect that as iOS 12 has more time to get to know us, the Siri suggestions are going to become more and more useful.
Yeah, Siri suggestions are already pretty useful for me. And my guess is that for you, it's either going to get more useful or eventually Siri's going to say, "I'm sorry, Brian, I just can't figure you out."
That's possible. So now talk to me about shortcuts.
Okay. So did you ever play with making them yourself? Did you ever play with workflow?
I never got around to it.
Okay. Then we'll come into this as if you have no idea what it is, because there will be at least one listener that will appreciate getting the background. So workflow is an app that Apple bought, and what it does is it acts sort of like Automator does on the Mac, where you can take different applications and automate actions in those applications, and then you can string those together so you can have something that starts in one application, goes to another and does something else. And so you can mix and match all these things and create some pretty sophisticated automated routines, which were called workflows. Now all of that's called shortcuts. Apple renamed it, and it has tighter system integration. And so what you can do is if you had the workflow app, it's and you install iOS 12, it's now renamed Shortcuts. If you never had it, just download the Shortcuts app from the App Store. It's free. And you
get, I'm surprised that it's not installed with iOS 12. It should be installed with iOS 12.
I was surprised to find that out as well. And I didn't realize because I have workflow on all my iOS devices.
Like, I don't want Shortcuts to become abandonware.
Same,
right, which Apple has a long history of doing. And so, like, I kind of want Apple to be forcing the you don't have to use it, but I would like this app to just be downloaded by default, because if you don't already know about it, you're not going to go looking for it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, except that you may get curious and learn a little more as you're getting Siri suggestions. Because you're creating those shortcuts even without having the Shortcuts app.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But that's kind of a stretch. Okay, so in the Shortcuts app, you get this list of apps and services that you can use, and then you just tap and drag what you want from the column on the left into the column on the right, and whatever you drag in, you know, it works from the top down. And you can put in other bits of code if that's your thing, and you can set up variables like if you want to do some. Oh, okay. So here's an idea. Let's say that you routinely want to take a selfie and post it to a social network that has shortcuts support.
Okay, great. So I am now a millennial. Fantastic. Let's go with this.
Right. So Brian the millennial wants to do this. And so
do you see Ainsley and Sierra nodding? They think this is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, but
I think they're actually doing it. So yeah. All right, go ahead, guys.
Did you see the hand motion they were giving you though?
What's
up with that?
We'll talk to them about that later.
Yeah. I don't think that means what you guys think it means. put your hands down. Anyhow, so you could create a shortcut that when you launch it, it takes your photo, it does whatever image editing you always do to your image, and then automatically uploads it to the service for you. And so you've done that all just with tap a button. And everything else happens. So it becomes a one-tap system for doing this whole process.
Got it.
And you could do other things like there's apps like the OmniGroup apps have really good shortcuts support. So you could do something where you have data coming in from one app, going into another app, triggering an action that then posts something on a site for you and then feeds the data off to another location. So you can create pretty sophisticated shortcuts if you want.
How hard is that to do?
Simple shortcuts are pretty easy because it's just like a drag and drop thing. And so you can start off by creating a shortcut that has like a single action. And it might be something that really isn't saving you time per se, but it's teaching you how the elements and shortcuts work. So I started off by creating shortcuts.
You saying that though, that's probably not enticing to a lot of folks.
Okay. So one of the tutorial shortcuts, which started as workflow, was how to make a GIF or GIF, depending on how you prefer to say it. And so what it would do is it walked you through the process of selecting the different modules that you need so that you can hold your phone up in front of your face and it takes several photographs and then strings them together into an animated GIF for you. And then asks you, where do you want to share it? To a social network? Do you just want to put it in your photos library? Do you want to email it? Do you want to message it? And I found that to be a really cool example because it's something that's easy to make because they walk you through it. And when it's done, you actually have something you can use. But then there's also the shortcuts gallery. And the great thing about that is that people have made tons of these already, and you can just select them and add them to your own library. So someone may have written a shortcut that does what you want.
Here's one for share how long it will take for you to get home, for instance.
Right, there you go. And once you have these, you can then do things like go in and edit them and see how they work. And for a lot of people, just being able to see how something is constructed helps them learn how they can use it too.
Where do these shortcuts sit?
They sit in the shortcuts app in your library. Unless you have added a Siri command to them as well.
So you have to go to the shortcuts app to activate them?
Right, but you can also turn them into like mini apps that just show up on your home screen.
Okay. And then you can also attach a Siri command to them too.
Right. And so the ones that have Siri commands will show up in here. But I believe they also show up in settings under what is it? Siri and shortcuts, I think is what the setting is. Siri and search.
Yes.
Yeah. So anything that's a Siri shortcut should show up in there as well. So the barrier to entry, I think for a lot of people, might be a little intimidating. But the fact
seems like the barrier to entry is simply getting started. Like, yeah. Do one, and you're probably going to do more.
Yeah, and the fact that there's a gallery for you to find things that other people have already created, that helps a lot. The fact that you get the Siri suggestions that you can just turn into a shortcut is great too. And I think for a lot of people, once they decide, okay, I'm going to try this out, these small things like letting your iPhone create a shortcut for you or trying out something from the gallery will open up the door so that it becomes less intimidating. That's what I'm hoping anyhow, because
sure.
There is so much potential in here.
There is a lot of potential in here. And I think this is really going to open up Siri and in a way that makes sense. And as I've said it before, I to me, this is like the flip side of the same coin Amazon Alexa skills, mm-hmm. because you're training Siri rather than training yourself.
Right. And with Alexa skills, you're still limited to what other people are making. With Siri shortcuts, you are not limited. You can create, you know, as long as there's an app.
But most people aren't going to do that, man.
Yeah.
Most people are not going to create their own shortcuts.
But for the people that do, and then they choose to share them, there will be an ever-growing gallery. So,
but that's true for Alexa skills too.
For Alexa skills, a developer has to actually create something. With Siri shortcuts, anyone can create it. That's the important distinction. It doesn't have to be a developer for Siri shortcuts.
It's like, this is another one of those examples where Apple is not first to market, but is best to market.
I think it's a better implementation than what you get with Alexa skills. So we have like 9 minutes left. Is there another feature you're interested in?
The other thing that I immediately set up is, and by immediately set up, I mean, I immediately set up after you reminded me during TDO one day.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And that was, the ability to tie one password for me. I mean, other people use different apps, but the ability to tie one password into the iOS password mechanism.
Yeah, that is just so fracking awesome.
Yeah, it is fracking awesome. It should have been here in iOS 6, but I am glad that it is finally here.
Yes, me too. Now, there will be a lot of people that will say, wait a second, you could already use 1Password to fill in passwords in iOS. And that is true, but it had to be done through the share sheet. What Apple has done now is they've taken that and made it like a system level hook. So
you can turn it on with a toggle in your preferences.
Right. So what you do first, make sure that your password manager app has been updated to support the iOS 12 autofill feature.
And with 1Password, that's version 7.2 or later.
Yeah, it's the version that came out on the day that iOS 12
was released. I say this because we had someone on Facebook who was not seeing an update, and they had 7.1.1 installed, and they couldn't get it to work, and they couldn't figure out why. And so, we're saying, so have you updated it? It's like, yes. I have got version 7.1.1. Well, 7.2 is the version, and for some reason they weren't seeing it. I don't know why. Yeah. So that's why I was specifying it.
Okay. Well, okay, good. So correct version. All right. So go into settings, passwords and accounts, and then autofill passwords. Now, assuming that you have a password manager that supports the feature, it will show up in the list right there, along with iCloud Keychain. So you can choose which password manager you want. You can have one or more than one.
You can have one or all or a subset.
Or a subset. Right. And then just tap the little toggle for autofill passwords, and that's it. And now what happens when you're on, a web page where you need to fill in your login, you tap in the login field, you get the keyboard where you would normally type, but at the top of the keyboard where you have the autocorrect stuff, you'll see the login options available from your password managers, and you tap the one and it fills it in, you're done.
But it works for apps too.
So anything that can support it, yeah, it just works.
So this actually makes 1Password even more useful and easier to use than it is on the Mac, where it has previously been the best. Because you could do individual plugins for each of the browsers, but now it's one toggle for all of iOS.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And it is really nice.
It takes 1Password or LastPass or whatever your password manager is, and it makes it just like this transparent addition to the operating system.
Right.
Which is great, because for me, 1Password is a much better choice than Apple's keychain, because I need so much more than what Apple offers, which it's true for a lot of people. So now I have my real database accessible everywhere, and it just works. It's a beautiful thing.
Right. And this is, I'll take our last couple of minutes to once again push something that I'm very keen on. Mm-hmm. Use a password manager. Make every password you have long, complex, and unique. Use a password manager to make that possible.
Yeah, I let my password manager create the passwords for me.
Yes.
So I honestly don't know what my passwords are for pretty much every single thing I use.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which for me is fine, because why should I waste my brain processor cycles trying to remember gobs of different passwords when my password manager does it for me?
So I happen to have a possibly on the spectrum ability to remember phone numbers and passwords. Names I suck with. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure your name is Jeff.
Oh, hold, checking the tag. Yes.
But other than that, I mean, you know, like my iTunes password that I, you know, type in a lot is quite long, and I remember it. But most people aren't doing that.
Do you walk up to people and refer to them by their phone number, since you remember that? So walk up to someone and say, oh, hi, 867-5309.
No, I call her Jenny.
At least you remember her name.
Yeah, I remember her name. But my point, though, is that remembering passwords is very hard, and especially if they're good passwords. And every single password you use on every single site should be unique. Use a password manager, and it's going to cost you money to use a good one. Only use ones
that cost you less money than having your identity stolen.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, yeah. And now that iOS 12 has made it so much easier to use these, and because, you know, generally speaking, we probably have more logins in iOS than we do on our Mac, because so many different
apps use them.
Yeah. And now, so just do this. Do this thing. Do this thing. Use a password manager. Enable it in iOS 12. Keep your. Make sure you have a passcode on your iPhone, your iPad.
I totally approve of this message. Yeah. All right. Well, I can't think of a better place to wrap up than that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us a message at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Indeed, our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.